Alright, so my name is Elvisa Lindov, and I'm here with Cleveland today. We are in Diva's House of Hair. It is February the 25th at, it's 1:04 p.m. And if you can go ahead and just state your name and where you grew up and your schooling.
Okay, I am Yodi Swain, and called Cleveland. And I grew up here in Roanoke, Virginia. And in terms of schooling, I graduated from William Fleming High School, went off to Virginia Western for 2 years, got an associate's, and moved to Northern Virginia, where I attended Potomac Hair Academy, and moved back to Roanoke and completed my cosmetology training at Virginia Hair Academy.
Interesting. So, since you grew up here, did you know what it was like just growing up here and, like, your childhood? Do you have, like, anything that really stuck out to you, or?
Growing up in Roanoke, I can actually say that I'm fortunate. Being African-American and being gay, in Roanoke, I've always been gay. I've been gay ever since I can remember. I've never been attracted to females. No disrespect. But only your hair. Love doing playing with hair. I was fortunate in that aspect in terms of growing up in this area and not being, in my opinion, disrespected or harmed or called names out of my name. I was very successful in high school, very popular in high school. I ran track, and so I was always cool with the athletes. I was always cool with the cheerleaders. I was always cool. I was always the in crowd. I was junior class president, went on to SGA president my senior year. So I was just so well respected. But when I hear stories of other gay men and women, and how growing up back then and during that era, it used to break my heart to hear some of their stories, and especially with family acceptance. My mother, she best put it, this is not what I would choose for you, but I love you. And so if you're going to be gay, just, you know, remember to love yourself because I love you. And that was like something that was, it just stuck with me, that my mom loves me, no matter what, my mom doesn't judge me. And I was just truly fortunate in that, and even with my entire family, very accepting in terms of my lifestyle. So I don't have one of those like Debbie Downers or negative Nancy moments to where, oh my world, I was so mistreated or, what's the word, disrespected and not loved. So one of the things I say growing up in this area for me is that I was loved. Mm-hmm. And that meant a whole lot to me. It meant a whole lot.
So would you say there was a big gay community where you were growing up, or were you, you know, was there not a large...
Yes, type? Yes. Believe it or not, even with, I've been fortunate to grow up around, gay men and women, even bisexuals. And so, yeah, the community is big. It's a large community. In my earlier years, of course, I used to go to one of the biggest gay clubs here, the Park. Every Friday and Saturday night, I'm going to dance the night away. And so, again, with gay bashing and all that type of stuff, I never witnessed any of it, you know. But I've heard stories, you know, in this area, but I've just been one of the fortunate ones.
Mm-hmm. And were there other, I know the Park is a big one, but were there any previous, gay communities or gay clubs that were around that aren't around today?
There used to be one called, Backstreet, and I don't think that it exists anymore, but it could. I was fortunate to be friends with the owners of the Park. And, of course, they do the Gay Pride every year. And that's a big thing, mostly hosted in Wasina Park or Highland Park. And that's where, like, we would go in terms of just hanging out, whether it was gay pride or not. Mm-hmm. Those were the two popular parks for us just to go hang out, walk our dogs, you know, play tennis, volleyball, you name it. Mm-hmm. So, and then Southwest is generally what they would call the gay community, because a lot of gay families now exist in Southwest Roanoke.
Okay. And you had mentioned before that you always knew that you were gay. So was that, I know you didn't have like any struggles with your family on acceptance, but did you have any like, internal struggles within yourself? Did you feel conflicted about coming out, or when did you come out?
No, I've even in elementary school, I knew that I was gay. I knew and I understood what gay meant, mm-hmm. meaning that I was attracted to the same sex. Mm-hmm. So for me, it just seemed like that was my norm. Mm-hmm. It's just like for someone that is straight, mm-hmm. That's your norm. That's your, you know, you're attracted to the opposite sex. I was always attracted to the same sex. I didn't have problems coming out because I was just me. So my personality was always accepted. Mm-hmm. So I didn't look at myself as being someone gay or having to come out because it was my who I was. So it wasn't like, I know a lot of people, they come out and then they tell family and friends. I was always flamboyant, always what they would consider the pretty boy. So I didn't have to come out. I was out. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, you know, that I hear so often, well, what made you gay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a choice for me. It wasn't a choice. I wasn't taken advantage. I wasn't molested. I went to school in boy clothes. I played, believe it or not, basketball, football, baseball, track and field. I did all of those things. So it was nothing that made me gay. It was just, I just was never attracted to females. Mm-hmm. I had a lovely mom, a very hardworking mom. My father was there at the beginning of my childhood, and I didn't have the best relationship with him, but it was nothing that, I'll say with him dealing with my lifestyle, was a problem for him, but it wasn't a problem for me. Okay. And because I had such a strong support system in terms of my grandmother and my mother and my, siblings, it didn't really matter what he thought so much. And I'm not one of those ones that I hold on to it or have any type of anger or hatred towards him. I wish him well because I'm doing well.
Okay. So what about your dating and social life? Is there anything different from while you were growing up and now? Have things changed? Have you seen a big movement and change within the gay community?
Oh, huge. I'm here. I would say growing up, the gay community, they didn't show affection. And so in other words, if you were lovers or whatever, you didn't hold hands, you didn't kiss in public because it wasn't accepted. Not until I moved to Washington, D.C., and I'll never forget Georgetown, shopping in Georgetown, and I was seeing men holding hands and showing affection and women showing affection and holding hands. I was like, oh my God. So, but of course, there was a metropolitan area, and we're coming from a small town to where, you know, of course, it wasn't accepted. And however, even though that I knew that it wasn't accepted here as much, I never saw anything that was negative. You just knew that you don't show affection in public. So for me, dating, I didn't do a lot of dating in high school. I got into my first relationship, my first official relationship, until I was 30, believe it or not. I'm 45 now. But of course I dated, you know, prior to, but no serious committed relationship. I'm picky, very, very picky. And I've been picky my whole entire life. And so for me, dating was how can I put it? Dating was like, I'll go to dinner with you, you know, this weekend. I'll go to dinner next weekend with someone else, dot, dot, dot. So that's what dating was for me. It wasn't commitment. I wasn't really sexually active at a young age. Never desired to be. But now the dating, now that I'm older, I was in a 12-year relationship. And which ended this coming November will be 2 years that it's been over. And it was so stressful. It was long distance. It was very stressful. So stressful. The long distance itself was stressful. The gay relationship was not. I adored him and he adored me. And my family adores him. His family adores me. He wasn't out with his family. And that was a problem for me because I'm like, I'm not a secret, you know, and I'm not going to be a secret. So what made me proud of him was that he first started with his mom and he told his mom about me. And I'll never forget meeting her for the first time. She stared at me the whole time. I don't think she blinked. I'm serious. I don't think this lady blinked. She just stared at me and she said to me, she says, "You're really beautiful." And I was floored. I was like, "Oh my God, his mama called me beautiful." So the whole entire weekend, I was on 100. I was like, "Oh God, she called me beautiful." And she talked to me. She was welcoming. And for him, it was a beautiful thing for him because he thought it was going to be so horrible. He thought it was going to be so bad. And he just thought that everyone was going to just, you know, not have anything to do with him. And he's very successful and he has his master's and very educated man and very independent and loves his mom as I do mine. And he takes care of his mom. His mom has a lot of health issues. But with all of that being said, when he finally came out to his siblings and his friends, they were like, "Okay." It's nothing like it used to be when you would come out and say, "Oh, I'm gay," and everybody, "Oh my God, you don't tell anybody, you know, you must live in the closet." I don't think that it's anything like that now. I think that if someone comes out and they, man or woman, and comes out and say that they're gay, okay, let's move on, next, you know. So I don't think that it is bad, it is as bad as it has been in the past. In the past, oh, so many people were in the closet and dot, dot, dot. And I respected it. If you were in the closet, okay, that's fine. I'll keep your secret, you know. But there's nothing wrong. Look at me. Just look at me. But I do know that I am like a little special to it because I had the acceptance from family and friends and love and, you know, classmates and I just didn't experience the negativity that a lot of them did in terms of coming out.
Mm-hmm. And within that 12-year relationship, did you have any life learning lessons, or does that affect who you potentially date later on? Would you want to still date with someone who was in the closet, or would you feel more comfortable dating someone who's already out and feels comfortable within themselves?
I prefer dating someone at my age. Mm-hmm. I prefer dating someone that is out. Mm-hmm. And when I say out, you don't have to go around with a shirt plastered, "I'm gay." You don't have to announce it, you know, when you're introducing yourself to someone and, "Oh, and I'm gay." No, so that's not necessary. So I deal with more professional men, mm-hmm. and I'm attracted to more professional men, educated men. And so they definitely would have to be out. That's number one. Number two, and this is just me personally, I don't desire a relationship after being in one for 12 years. But if it happens, it happens. I'm not looking for it. I have so many clients that are not in relationships and desire to be in relationships and are out here just dating and are miserable, just simply miserable. Sometimes I feel like I'm truly a counselor when I have them in the chair and then we talk outside the salon that, you know, don't allow a man to complete you. A man does not complete me. A relationship does not complete me. I'm happy within myself. And again, if something happens, it happens, but I'm not looking for it. I'm not one of these ones that are dating multiple people until I find that, you know, special one. If it happens, it happens. Mm-hmm.
Actually,
yes.
So being gay, that's like a very strong connection within yourself and how you identify yourself. Is there something else that closely relates to that as well, or did you find anything that, you know, like being gay, like, was that very, how do I say this, very very inspiring, I would say, for yourself being so open and out and having such a good community based around you, compared to people who don't have that kind of support and love. Did you find anything like that was very memorable about that?
I think so much for me, it would the best way to answer is people judging you and not wanting to be around you and dot, 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 or act like you got some disease because you're gay. I didn't experience any of that. I was fortunate to, if I met someone or met a client or their families or going to someone's wedding, dot, 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 always well-respected. I was just truly, truly, truly well-respected. And as I talked to other gay friends and listened to their stories, and they don't have that same story. They have a lot of sadness, a lot of bitterness. It floors me because, and all I can do is just comfort them with my words and share my story that, well, fortunate for me, I didn't experience any of that. So there are good people out there. There are accepting people out there. So for me, it's just knowing that the world is just not all bad, you know? Not everyone has this Debbie Downer story in terms of, you know, oh, it's just such a negative experience. No, it's been a beautiful experience. And so being able to share that with other people, I'm known for sharing that with other people. And a lot of people, they're just floored. And especially in African-American families, it's really difficult to come out. It's just the worst thing ever. I mean, you could be a thief. We love you. You can be a rapist. We love you. But being gay? Oh, no, never. And especially in the, what they call the black church. Predominantly African Americans attending one church. That was horrible. Oh, it's a sin. You're going to hell. You're going to burn in hell. And again, that was not one of my situations. I had to teach two former pastors when I was younger that I read the Bible and there is no degree in sin. So if you are a liar and you think that someone being gay is the worst thing ever and it's so unforgivable, there's no degree in sin whatsoever. So if you're a liar and if I'm gay and if the Bible says those two things are wrong, then guess what? We're both going to hell. And with that being said, I never allow people to judge me. And that's what I would teach Christians and so-called Christians. And that there's no degree in sin. There's no degree. So if you are a liar, if you're a cheater, whatever your situation, whatever your sin is, it's a sin. Mm-hmm. A sin is a sin. But I know that I'm going to be judged one day. And that's only by God. And that's how strong my faith is. That I don't allow men or women to judge me in any way, shape, or form. Because I will be judged only on one day. And I have a relationship with God. You know, and I don't have to shout it out, you know, to everyone. I do, as the word says, you know, God, his thing is, you know, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So I love everybody. I don't hate any, I accept anybody. I don't care what it is. I don't care what your situation is or whatever. I love you and I'm not going to judge you. You know, even if you've wronged me, I love you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. So that's the type of person I am.
So mentioning that you have a strong relationship with God and going to church, I think you still go to church now.
Certainly.
So do you go, so I know there's actually some gay churches around here, I believe so.
Yes.
So do you go towards churches that are more of the gay culture, or do you go, you know, as people would say, like, typical churches, I would say?
I belong to Loud Avenue Christian Church, okay. And I've been a member there for over 17 years mm-hmm. now. And it's not a gay church, but it's an accepting, they don't judge, mm-hmm. they accept gays, there have been gay couples mm-hmm. that have joined, gay people that have joined. It's not one of those churches where the ministry is against gay. We don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful church family. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing church family. And I have visited gay churches, mm-hmm. what they would call, you know, gay churches. And That's okay. But I am more about the word, about preaching and teaching. You got to minister to me. I don't go to church just to warm up a pew. I go to church because I want to be preached to and I want to be taught. You know, I want to learn. And that's what I've been fortunate. My former pastor, he was the pastor of our church for over 33 years. And he retired 2 years ago. I'm going to tell you something. Oh, my God. He was amazing. And I think he's actually taught at Roanoke College as well. Bill Lee. We call him Bill Lee, but it's William Lee. And Dr. Lee is amazing. He is amazing. It was Sundays to where I just couldn't wait to go to church. During the week, oh, I can't wait to go to church. And if I'm having a bad week or a challenging week or whatever, I just couldn't wait because I knew that he had a word. And I knew that, you know, God was really utilizing him. And so it was fortunate for me. But I don't have anything against gay churches. I go to a church and I have a church family that I love and adore, and they love and adore me. I served as trustee for 4 years at my church. So I've had a big position in the church as them trusting me with keys, the alarm system, and, you know, the business and the working of churches. The church, and I loved it. I absolutely love it.
Okay, cool. That's actually really interesting. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
So I know you said that you didn't personally experience anything, you know, like any negativity or whatever, but did you have maybe like a close friend that was maybe closeted, or they were out and they experienced like these very negative things? Did you maybe, you know, I know you think you heard stories about it. Was there anything that really... did something ever like scare you? Were you ever scared that something was ever going to happen to you, or did you feel like you couldn't be out in public because you were worried about this situation happening?
When you, as we know that how gay bashing still exists, mm-hmm. how people will go into clubs, gay clubs, and shoot up the club, or they'll catch you by yourself and, you know, beat someone up and that type of thing. That has always been in the back of my mind. It's always been in the back of my mind that someone would actually harm me because of, you know, what they don't understand. And feel like, you know, oh, we're going to beat his butt, or we're going to kill him because, you know, he's, you know, gay, dot, dot. Always in the back of my mind. But one of the things in my faith in God that I can't live in fear. So I can't let that stop me from walking out, being who I am, because of fear. Even though I know that it happens, I've had some friends that have been beaten up. I've had some friends that, and not just strangers, family members beating them up because of, you know, them being gay. I know of a situation with a female friend of mine that she was actually raped by a family member, thinking that he could make her straight by raping her. This is what this is about. And so sad. And I spent weeks with her. Weeks. And when I say weeks, I spent weeks with her making sure she's getting the counseling and the help and bringing him to justice. And she did. You know, you have got to tell your story. And her family, believe it or not, were like not supporting her in terms of bringing him to justice. I'm like, he raped her. And, you know, and me having conversations with her family members, I said, I am sorry. I want to support her, and you all should be the first ones that are supporting her, but you're not. But I will. And we're still great friends to this day. Of course, he was found guilty and served a prison sentence for raping her. And it has empowered her now. She's like one of the strongest women that I know now, because someone was there that to support her, letting her know that this is, you know, there's nothing wrong with being gay. And what he did to you, first of all, not accepting your choice in terms of your sexuality, is thinking that by, and she was a child, so he molested, not only he raped her, but it was molestation because she was a child. So, but you overcame that, and you are fabulous now. And, you know, she's always singing my praises in terms of me, you know, being there for her, because she was suicidal at one point. She was just thinking, maybe I should just kill myself. I'm like, kill yourself for what? I said, then there, you won't be here. We won't be friends. I'll be minus a friend. And so I'm always throwing a little humor in there. And she's always telling the story now. She can speak on it now. And she has no problems with it. It doesn't bother her anymore because she overcame it. And so I was glad that I was there, because if I was ever going through something like that, I would want some type of support system. I would need some type of support system. So with a lot of the stories that I've heard over the years, in terms of whether it's family, friends, coworkers, or whatever, not accepting someone's sexuality, I think it is absolutely horrible. Horrible. Why do you care about what I do behind closed doors? Or even if I'm in public and I show affection to my partner, why do you care? You should not care. I think that people need to start focusing more on self and not others in that respect. In terms of, I think if you focus on self a whole lot more than worrying about who's sleeping with who or who's in love with who, you'll be a whole lot better person. You'll be a better person.
So, talking about that kind of hatred, because I personally would always be curious, where do you think this hatred towards people who, you know, are interested in the same sex came from? Where do you think on that stand?
It's been taught. It's just like racism. You know, we are all born pure. We're pure. And it's what people teach us and what we grow up learning that is wrong. So if you have this family that doesn't believe in gay, someone being gay, it's just horrible, .. you're taught that. Someone taught you that was wrong. Even as Christians, the word says that being gay is a sin, okay? I don't argue that word. My simple thing is because I have a relationship with God. And God knows who I am. And they say, well, do you feel that God made you gay? I'm not going to say that either. It was a choice. I can't help that, you know, for instance, like in terms of colors, like if I'm going to go buy a shirt, that I'm not partial to blue, so I'm not going to buy a blue shirt. I can't help that I prefer a white shirt or a red shirt over blue. It's my choice. You know, so I make choices, and I'm responsible for my choices. So I choose. I don't think it's I don't think it's a choice of being gay. Mm-hmm. I am gay. Mm-hmm. So with all of that being said, woman, what was your question? Because I didn't got off to talk about clothes and shopping, because I'm a shopper. Honey. And I'm like sitting there thinking to myself, wait a minute, oh, I do like red, I do like white. Oh, spring is coming. I need some new clothes.
No, just about like where you think this hatred is coming from.
It's taught. It's the hatred comes from people teaching that. It's just like in terms of racism. Mm-hmm. You're taught white supremacists, KKK. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is taught. Mm-hmm. So if we stop putting that negativity into our children, mm-hmm. it will die. It will go away. But as long as we have people teaching, you know, their children to hate, whether it's race or whether someone being gay or whether someone being poor, whatever the situation may be, as long as people are teaching that, it's not going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So I know you said that, you know, you didn't really have like anything that people weren't, you know, judgmental of you being gay. And you have brought up being like proud of being gay and being African American. So did you see more, I guess, racism because you were African American rather than gay? Did that affect you in any way and how you presented yourself as well?
It was a double thing in being black and being gay. It was like, oh, I'm black and I'm gay. And so in growing up in America, being black and gay was just like, you know, two of the worst things. And where I was so fortunate as I would educate people, my great-grandfather was Caucasian and my great-grandmother was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. So my grandmother was Caucasian and Indian, no African American bloodline. My grandfather was a full-blooded Indian. So my mom is actually Caucasian and Indian, but my mom looks like a African American woman. Mm-hmm. My grandmother did not. My grandmother looked like a Caucasian woman. But my mother identified herself as an African-American woman. Even though there is no African-American blood in her, but that because of her skin color, this is how crazy what we grew up in. Because of her skin color, she was identified as a black woman. Man, my father, of course, that's where the African-American bloodline comes in for me, is that, so I'm, you know, I have, you know, African-American, Caucasian, Indian. So all of that, you know, is in me. So I didn't really care that, I have white in my family. Oh, I have Indian in my family. Oh, I have black in my family. I just identified myself as being black and I was fine with it. I had no, I'm an American first. Mm-hmm. I am an American first. And that was one of the things, that's what we were taught in our house, that we were Americans. We weren't black. We weren't, you know, poor, rich, or middle class. We are Americans. And that's what we were taught. And so I was fortunate. And that's why I teach a whole lot of people, even growing up in this community, I really didn't experience racism. If someone was being racist towards me, mm-hmm. I didn't know it. I didn't, because I would have confronted it. I would have, I was confrontational. And that's why a whole lot of people love and adore me, is that I'm confrontational. Mm-hmm. I will let you have it. I mean, I will let you have it. I was not the type of person that if you whispered the F word, you know, towards me, what did you say? I was that type of person to be, I was confrontational. Never physical, thank God. Never got to be physical, but I would confront you on your ignorance. Why do you feel like you didn't hurt my feelings by calling me that F word? Mm-hmm. You know, I just sit there and call, you're fat. You're ugly. I didn't have that mean spirit, mm-hmm. and it was not necessary. But I just want to try to help you help yourself. Why would you, you know, think that you're going to have me to cry or crawl up under a rock because you said that name calling? Or if you use the N-word. Words, I never gave words that type of power. And I think that if people in general would stop giving words power, like if someone was to call you the N-word, yes, it's disrespectful, and I know what you mean behind it. Or if you call me the F-word, I know what you mean behind it. But guess what? Words do not hurt me. You know, I hate to see that you're hurting yourself and living in such, you know, misery in terms of thinking that being ugly and mean-spirited to someone, that you want to break them, you want to break their spirit. Never happened with me. Never happened with me.
I guess I kind of want to go in this range since, like, you know, we are very, you know, I think people are very influenced by social media and stuff like that. Was there anyone in Hollywood that was maybe a role model for you coming out? Do you think there should be more representation, especially in the African community and being gay? Do you think there's something that we could do to just represent that community more?
I think that, like, with social media and television, it's coming out. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it now. You're seeing that. On shows where people, they come out and I'll never forget, I think I watched it was last Monday. I watched, I think it was Chicago MD. It was the first time I've seen it. An African-American intern. He was an intern. And a gay patient had come into ER and he was sick and dot, dot, dot. And he was actually flirting with a straight physician. Mm-hmm. He was flirting with him, and the physician kept it very professional. And him and the intern, the African-American intern, talked later about the incident. And so he was like, you know, that man was just so disrespectful, dot, 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 dot. And he's like, and I'm not gay, and I can't believe that, you know, he, you know, would do that, and he thought that I was gay. He says, well, the African-American intern says to him, well, I feel the same way when females are hitting on me. And the doctor looked at him like, what are you talking about? He says, I'm gay. And the doctor's like, oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know. He says, what are you sorry for? That's just who I am. He didn't look gay. You would never thought that he was gay. He didn't have no gay mannerisms. He looked like he would be into women. But no, he was gay. And you have a whole lot of people now coming out and living, you know, their life. One of, I have a new stylist, and he's been with me now for a little over 2 years. And one of my clients, she says, ooh, I have a granddaughter that I think that you need to meet. She would, I think you all would hit it off. So he said to her, oh, I'm sorry, I'm gay. So, but she didn't hear that. She actually did not hear him say that he was gay. And so she was like, yeah, she says, oh, and you're in college, and she's in college, and I just, you know, I'm going to get your number. It's okay if I give her your number. He says, ma'am, I am gay. I'm not into women. Oh. Then she turned to me, oh, he's like you. So, and this is an older client. So with that being said, people now don't mind telling you, oh, I'm gay. I don't have to be in the closet. So, you know, hey, you know. And I think that in terms of like Hollywood, social media, it's out there now. It's really out there. I don't think that it is bad now, because one of the things that I have several clients that are principals and teachers. And one of my teachers, she was like, Lord, child, all these gay kids in school. They're coming out in high school. They're coming out in middle school. They're coming out even in elementary school. So, but it's more accepted. I feel like the times have truly changed simply because of people and on television and in the media that are, you know, openly gay and don't mind talking about them being gay. Mm-hmm. So I think it's gotten a whole lot better. So no one really I looked up to, because I looked up to men and women, whether you were gay, straight, or whatever the situation, and I didn't care what your color was. I had several role models growing up. I'll never forget one of the biggest, I would say, growing up was Oprah. A black woman on television, a black woman with her own talk show, a black woman giving away money like that, a successful black woman. So Oprah, if I had to pinpoint anyone, was Oprah. As an adult, it would be Barack Obama. I'll never forget when he won. I was in my home. I built a home down in Vinton from ground up. And I'll never forget going home and watching his accepting speech. And I stood in front of the television crying and sobbing like a baby. You would have thought that somebody had died. But I was just so, for the first time, I was so happy to really truly be an American, that we have come this far, that finally there is a man of color in the White House. Now, there's still work to do, because I feel like that a woman should have been in the White House years ago. And of course, I'm a hardcore Democrat. I really believe that it was Hillary Clinton's place. For some reason, God seemed differently. And I and a lot of people say, oh, you think that God put Donald Trump in the White House? Yes, I certainly do believe he put him in the White House so that we could recognize that there is still a lot of hatred and a lot of ugly in this world. And it needs to be addressed, and we need to work on it. So with that being said, it is now time for a woman to be in the White House. It's time. She should have been. Hillary Clinton was more qualified than any candidate that has ever ran for president. Why? It's just like, you know, the same thing with women in churches, to where, oh, I can't have no female minister. Can't no woman preach to me. Just, I don't want no female minister. Why not? And my reply to that, whenever I hear that negativity in terms of a woman shouldn't be a president, or a woman shouldn't be a minister, or even a woman shouldn't be a doctor, or dot, dot, dot. Why? When we all came up out of women. Mm-hmm. We all came up out of a woman. So how can you be so negative about women? So it's the same thing with, you know, being gay, being black, being a woman, dot, dot, dot. We just need to get better. We need to do better. We need to know better. We need to act better, you know, and teach better than what, you know, we've been doing in the past.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about the current administration. I know Trump and Pence, they have, you know, like vocally, you know, where they stand on gay issues and gay rights. And do you feel like we went backwards in a way? And do you feel like, you know, this coming up next election, do you feel as Trump, do you think he'd still be in the office? Or do you feel as that we would get a woman president, as you said? Or do you see a more positive movement? Because I know a lot recently when we talk about Democratic, you know, issues, they were like, you know, Hillary shouldn't have been the candidate. It should have been Bernie Sanders. What do you feel?
I feel, first, I do feel that, again, Hillary was more qualified. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I feel that Bernie Sanders and his followers mm-hmm. failed Hillary. Mm-hmm. He didn't get behind her. He didn't motivate his people like Hillary did when she lost against Barack Obama. She was very positive. She worked in the administration. She was very vocal. Bernie Sanders is not. I think that because now that Bernie Sanders is back in the race and his followers, it's going to cause us to lose the election again. The you know, Bernie Sanders, you know, God help him. You're too old. Sit down. And then what, you know, a lot of people are behind Joe Biden and want him to be, you know, run. You're too old. Sit down. I'm tired of the old people being in office. We need youth and we need a woman's representative. So I'm going to be behind a woman regardless. I'm going to back a woman no matter what, because I think it's time. Not because she is so much a woman. If she's got great issues and she wants to turn this country around, I'm going to be behind a woman, period, because this country needs to be turned around, because we did go backwards with Pence and Trump. We did. Their backwards way of thinking and their... And I always have said that if President Obama did an ounce of what Trump has done, they would have impeached him by now. He wouldn't have gone as long as he did in terms of two terms. He would have been gone day one. And it wouldn't have taken 2 years to do no investigating and all that type of stuff. He would have been gone only because he was a black man, period. So, yes, the current administration is trying to take us back. But the thing about it, with trying to take us back in terms of being racist and anti-gay, you're not going to win. It's too many of us. It's too many of us. It's too many of us. We're too fabulous. We're too successful. But, you know, so it's not going to happen when it comes down to blacks. We're too successful, honey. We're rich, honey. There's black billionaires and millionaires and a whole lot more educators. So you're not taking us back in reference to, you know, oh, we should be slaves and on some plantation. That's not going to happen, darling. In terms of gays, you're not going to beat it out of us. You know, you're not going to kill us all. We're here to stay. And if America just focuses on being Americans, no matter you're a woman, you're a man, you're gay, you're straight, you're black, you're green, orange, we would really be the best country. And right now, I don't think that we are the best country. I'm not really proud to go somewhere and tell someone that I'm an American. I was in in terms of being an American, I was in Canada. I was in Toronto. And I was getting a manicure and pedicure done. And so the lady said to me, she said, oh my goodness, she said, where are you from? I said, from the U.S. And she said, don't tell nobody that. She actually told me to tell people when I met them and during my city that I was from Trinidad. I looked like I was, you know, from Trinidad. Tell people you're from Trinidad. I was like, oh no, I'm from the U.S. Now I think if I go back to Canada, I will tell them I'm from Trinidad or somewhere else, some island somewhere, because I'm not proud of the how America is currently and who our leader is. You know, who our commander in chief is and how he lies and cheats and is just he's just a mess. He's just simply a mess. And we have gone back as Americans. We've taken a step back. So we need to not only clean up that mess, and we must move forward, and we must teach, and we must preach, and we must do a whole lot better than what we are currently doing.
I think for me personally, were you shocked? Because I know when I was shocked, I found out the election results, and like with Obama and like such a, you know, forward, you know, movement that he had, you would think, you know, like we're going on a right track and everything like that. Do you feel as, you know, for you personally, did it affect you in who you are and how you represent yourself with them? And have you encountered, I know you said you haven't encountered any negative people, but, you know, if you did encounter someone who supports Trump and his values and everything like that, how would you think you would overcome that or show, you know, your representation and shows why, you know, his pathway to, you know, leading our country and, like, doing things good for our government is the wrong way to do it?
Yeah. I actually have clients that are Trump supporters. I'll never forget one. I had a male client, and he's a strong Trump supporter, and he's a black man on top of that. So for me, you know, it's one of those things where they say, oh, you're black and you get, oh my God. So with him, you're black and you love Trump. Oh my God. So of course that was my first, you know, I'm like, oh my God, you're another Trump supporter. Jesus Christ. This is going to make an interesting visit while he's here, because my lady started pouncing on him. How could you support him? And you're black. How could you support him? He's racist. And da-da. And he does not believe that Trump's racist. I really believe that his followers, not all of them are racist. A lot of them, they believe in him, and that's the reason why he's still there. And it goes to show that America still thinks like Trump and Pence. They support them. They're behind them. I don't know how we can be behind something like that. It was devastating to me that when Hillary lost, I kept saying, oh, it was stolen. And now to know that Russia had interfered in, you know, the campaign, it was taken from her. It was stolen. So we now got another country interfering in America. How dare we? We're supposed to be the best. We're supposed to be the best. And so when he says that I'm going to make America great again, America was great before you. You have actually, that's another lie. You've made America worse than making America great. It's like with the wall that he talks about building. And immigrants are not just coming through across the border. They are flying into America. They come, you know, by plane, train, you know, highway. So it's just not the border. You want to spend all that money on the border when we have college students, such as yourselves, in debt, in severe debt. I've got this one client who owes over $90,000+. This is just my, I know that some may owe more, some may own less. I'm like, $90,000 for a bachelor's? Girl, bah, you got to be kidding me. And so with just stories like that, and when you have the elderly that have to make decisions on health care or their bills, oh, well, I got to keep a roof over my head, but I can't afford my medication. I think that's horrible. And we want to talk about building a wall. And when you have still homelessness that exists, you know, people starving. Then with the border alone, and you separating women and men from their children. Girl, let me tell you something. I think I would have lost my mind. When I look back on that, I was never taken away from my mom. Or, you know, and housed with, you know, in cages and whatnot. I could not imagine that. Could you all imagine something like that happening to yourself? And so I never lived through these times when I would hear about stories about segregation and slavery, dot, dot, dot. Well, thank the Lord I didn't live through that era. But now I'm living through this era to where you're separating children and their parents. How devastating. That's going to stick with that child for the rest of their lives. I pray that they overcome it and be productive. But look at what we're doing. And it's like every day in the news, something crazy. It's just like the football player.
Kaepernick?
No. The owner of the, the football team. They just won the Super Bowl. Okay, well, we're
Patriots?
No one's,
huh?
Patriots, yes, the Patriots owner. Running a prostitution ring? What in the world? Girl, give me millions, honey. I'm going to show you what you do with millions. And that's not what you do with your money, and running prostitution rings. And even during the Super Bowl, I learned on the news, I didn't even know this in terms of the human trafficking, but especially children. You know, they using these young girls as prostitutes. Are you serious? I'm like, I was floored. I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? Make America great. America is sick. You all are prostituting children, having children, letting one man after another man take advantage of a woman. What is this? What is, if you want to build a wall, in terms of building the wall, no, they don't want to address gun control. I don't have a problem with someone owning a gun. Maybe two. But I don't, what do you call the automatic rifles, you know, that shoot, to keep on and continue to shoot up. I can't think of the name of this, just shows you how much I mind it's really guns. But I think that it's crazy for you to own stuff like that. For what are you going to kill? Even for hunters who out there hunting deer, even I'm against that, but hunt yourself home. But with hunters out there, you know, you don't need all of automatic weapons and whatnot for what? And no one's doing anything. So with gun control, they're going in and they're shooting up churches. They're shooting up schools, clubs. You know, what about that? That's the real emergency. If we want to talk about emergency, that's the real emergency. Research in terms of diseases. You know, I got one of my clients who's battling Alzheimer's, and it just breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart to what her family is going through, because it has really turned her family upside down in terms of the disease. That's an emergency. Why not, you know, put more money into research? So I can go on and on and on about that Trump, but number 45. But no. So it really pains me that possibly he could get another term, and that the hatred and the rise in racism and anti-gay could possibly be growing. And I don't worry about myself so much, because at my age, I don't worry. But I worry about our young children having to come up and grow up with this. Now it's like, oh, girl, you got to be in the closet. Boy, you better stay in the closet. Oh, you got to be ashamed of being black. Oh, black is horrible. It's a horrible thing to be of color. No, and no, it's not. So I'm praying to God. I'm praying that America will get back on track. We need to get back on track, because we've been doing so. We have grown as a country in terms of racism, in terms of, you know, anti-gay and dot, dot, dot. But I just feel like with this current administration, we're going backwards, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't.
So you focused a lot about on gun control, and you talked about, you know, shootings in schools and clubs. Especially, I think it was in Orlando. I think it's was it the Pulse shooting.
Yes.
When you heard about that, did you think there was, you know, with our administration, did you feel like there was something, you know, affecting that, or do you think, you know, like there was a reason of why, like, this guy chose this club, a gay club, to shoot up? And how did you feel, you know, watching that and hearing the news about that?
First of all, that is heartbreaking. No matter where whether it's at a club, whether it's at a church, a school, it breaks my heart. Up under this current administration, I think that they are giving them the okay card to come out, be a white supremacist, be a Ku Klux Klan member. Charlottesville was a perfect example that now this current administration is teaching. Y'all, come on out. You all don't have to hide, and you don't have to, you know, you do what you want to do. If you want to, I'll never forget when Trump was even running before becoming president, that he was like, punch him in the mouth, or do this and do that, or, you know, are you serious? And to see people, when someone like in white supremacists, when they get in trouble and they get caught, how people do a GoFundMe page to raise money for them to have legal representation. Are you serious? It makes me more now paranoid than I have been in my whole entire life up under this administration. I am paranoid in terms of, I don't think I really want to go to a gay club. Oh, going to church. I'm a little paranoid even being in church. Like, is someone going to shoot me in the back of the head? Because one, I'm black and I'm in a black church. So it's just, to actually live this way now, it's sad. It saddens me that I'm a little bit more paranoid. But it's not going to stop me from living. It's not going to stop me from going to a gay club. It's not going to stop me from going to church. I can't live in fear. So, but I'm more paranoid than I've been growing up, believe it or not. And so that's sad that I've been on this earth for 45 years And in the last past couple of years, I'm now more paranoid than I've ever been.
If I may, do you have any hope? Do you think that we can move together in the next, whenever?
It's going to take a while. Yes, I do believe in it. I do believe that we're going to get better. America will become great again. You know, because when he says he's going to make America great, not the way that you're going about it, that's not making America great. I do believe that at some point in time, it will get better, but it's going to take some time. Because as long as right now we've got people teaching their children hatred, you know, it's going to take a minute. It's going to really take a minute. And we may not see it. Our generation, you all are a whole lot younger than I am, you all may not even get to see it until you're a senior, you know, at some point. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take, but I think that we're capable. Because I think that we're better. We're better than hatred. You know, we're better than the racism and anti-gay. We're better than that.
And how do you feel like we could combat that? I know you'd say like it would take a long time, and I believe you. I think it would take a long time just to have, you know, this equality that, you know, that everyone should have. What do you think we, you know, as a society now, like someone my age and your age, what do you think that we could do, you know, to promote, you know, gay awareness or the African American community? What do you think that we could do to show positivity and, you know, counteract those negative thoughts that people have?
I think that it's one is teaching. Why is it because of the color of my skin that I'm better? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not. You're not. We're equal. So that's first is teaching in reference to race. In terms of the anti-gay, why should it matter who I love, who I choose to love? Why does that matter? You know, to you, and because you don't agree with it, why does that matter? You know, so we need to teach those things. And if we teach, you know, I do believe that we teach, especially our children, now and forever, that it will get a whole lot better. But it's in terms of teaching. In terms of why is this little black girl less than this little white girl? Why? Because of the color of her skin, that's ignorance. It's a lot of ignorance. And I actually will, in terms of the N-word, mm-hmm. that, believe it or not, if you know what the N-word means, it's ignorance. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of Caucasians that are the N-word. So we need to flip it, because you are the N's, because you're so ignorant. Not all, of course, but those that think that way. So you're the N. So I turn it around. Oh, you N? You're the end, because you're so ignorant. So ignorant. So that in terms of race. In terms of sexuality, a lot of times gay people were stereotyped as pedophiles. And for that was attached to us. Oh, I can't leave my child alone with, because he's gay. Can't leave my son there. Oh, I can't leave my daughter with so-and-so because she's gay. She might try something with my child. Mm-hmm. We're not pedophiles. I'm sure there may be gay pedophiles, but mm-hmm. being gay does not make you a pedophile. I think that's one of the sickest things, adults taking advantage of children. Thank God that didn't happen to me. I'm so grateful. But I know of people that it has, you know, happened to. Thank God it did not happen to me. But it's not just gay people. And I'm sure there's gay pedophiles, but that's been one of the things that's been grouped with us. You know, I helped raise two nephews and a niece, and currently still raising a niece. And I've got a nephew that graduated last year from college, has his bachelor's, and has applied to 3 law schools. I've been there since day one. His father was not, but I was. Day one, and this is what a gay man did. I got my nephew through college, and without owing $1, because there's money out there. And that's another thing I try to teach. I have got now a nephew that is graduating as a senior, who's graduating not only as a senior, but having his associates because he did dual enrollment. Now I have a niece that's graduating from kindergarten, and she's reading novels. She's currently reading novels. So that's what we do. So we're not pedophiles. You know, even though I don't have any children, but I am a role model, a positive role model. And my nephews, you know, growing up, you know, they're very macho. They're like, that's my uncle. That's my uncle when we moved him in. Because, again, I'm very flamboyant. So when I was moving him in, some of his friends was like, is that your uncle? And he was like, yeah, that's my uncle. What about him? And, is he gay? Yeah, he's gay. He sure is. Been gay his whole entire life. And so he's teaching them, yeah, I'm not ashamed of my uncle. You don't know, my uncle's really been my father. And so, you know, he has to teach those because, you know, other little macho guys that, you know, have been taught that, you know, being gay is wrong. So that's, you know, and that's just letting you know this is where we need to be in terms of teaching our children that it does not matter that I'm gay. I'm successful. He'll tell people in a minute, my uncle has owned his business for over 22 years. You know, and I have. I've been in the industry now for 25, and I've owned my own business now for 22 years of age. I'm 22 years. And very successful. Been very, very successful. To where being a black man and owning a business versus selling drugs. Oh, he's a black man. If he's driving something this, if he's driving something that, he's got to be a drug dealer. When I moved into a predominantly all-white neighborhood and I built my home and I moved in, both neighbors on the right and the left of me came to me. And it's like, can we ask you something without offending you? I said, sure. What's your nationality? And I said, I'm black. Oh. I said, why? We just thought you were something else. We didn't know that you, neither one of us thought you were black. Are you serious? I'm like, oh God, where did I move to? God, Lord, where did I move to? So the ignorance, this is just the pure ignorance. Why does it matter what my nationality is? If you prick me, I'm going to bleed. Same color that you would. So.
Well, we're at the 16-minute
mark. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to thank you for sharing your story with us and, like, taking the time down and talk with us about this.
Certainly.
It was fun. I loved hearing you talk.
Come on,